He knew that accepting for himself was going to put a picture or a question in people's minds of his purpose, of why he was doing what he was doing. And he certainly cared more about people and their salvation and sharing the love of Christ in these people's lives than he did about his own benefits and the rights that he would get. He cared utmost about that. And so he went as far as to say, well, then I'm going to keep these things away from me because I want you to get the gospel. And so we've learned that so far. Now Paul is going to continue on along the same thought, but he's going to move on to another area. And that's where we're at, starting in verse 19. So if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we are going to pick up this evening in verse 19. We're going to go to verse 23. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture here, a lot of good things to learn. And so follow along. Let's go ahead and read verses 19 to 23. And then once we are done with that, then I'm going to kind of go through and explain that. Why don't we do something different tonight and have somebody read this? Roger, would you be willing to stand and read for me, for all of us, nice and loud and clear, verses 19 to 23? Let's listen as Roger reads this passage. Father, would you please bless your word as we go through it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to make it very simple so that we can understand it, but more than understand it, that we can then take it and the Holy Spirit would apply it to our lives where we need it, and then we would go out and live it. Father, that really is the key, is that we would go out and live what we are learning. So Father, help us to discover in such a way that we can live this passage. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. All right. Now, there's a little twist in the context here. Paul has been given some things of, you know, he's given rights and why things ought to happen, and we need to pay attention to those things, why the man of God ought to be supported. And he's going into, but I'm going to deny this. But then he goes into this unique passage, and he goes into this thing about being all things to all men. When you first think about that, that can be an interesting thought. What does it mean that I ought to be all things to all men? Does that mean that we ought to find any kind of group out there and go and conform to who they are and what they are and what they do so that we can try to reach them? Well, that would be an interesting thought. Does God want us to, okay, well, I'm going to take on this group of people. You know, they're doing this, they're this kind of lifestyle. I'm going to go right in there and partake of that lifestyle. Would there be other passages of Scripture that would contradict against that kind of an idea? Well, of course there would. We've got to make sure that we're not going against God and doing things that are wrong. And so Paul, I just want you to know, Paul is not at all saying here, you be everything that's out there. Okay, well, let's look at what he is saying, though. He's talking a little bit here. He says, while I am absolutely free to use my rights and liberties. I mean, he has been sharing that. First part of this chapter. Listen, we have every right to exercise this. There's nothing wrong with accepting these funds. While I am absolutely free to use my rights and liberties, he then chooses to put himself under all others so that he could win many people over to the Lord. Now, Paul starts off here in these verses, and he says, in the start of this, he says, he's referring to all men, but then he starts to pick apart different kinds of people. So verse 20, and unto the Jews became I as a Jew. Okay, so he became a Jew. Now, Paul was, but what is he talking about there? So, to this group of people, the Jews, Paul was stating here that he was going to to keep open his Jewishness. That could mean a lot of things. He wasn't going to abandon this lifestyle. You know, now he had become a Christian. You know, and is being a Jew and being a Christian, could that mean different things? Well, yeah, it could mean different things. And so he's saying, but you know, I want to keep my ministry to the Jewish people. Now, Paul was primarily going to go to who? The Gentiles. And we're going to learn about that here in just a moment. But he said, you know what? There's a group of people around me that are Jewish people. In fact, these are my own people. And Paul says here, I want to be able to reach these people, so I'm going to keep some elements of Jewishness about me because I want to have something to relate with these people. Isn't it good to have something to relate with people about in life? I want you to think about your gospel presentation to people. Is it, I mean, we know that we ought to, before God, we ought to give it to whoever, whenever, give them the gospel, whether we have many things in common. But as we're thinking about the people that we minister, doesn't it help to have something in common with those people? Obviously it does. We have something that we can connect with. In Discovery Bible Studies, we talk about the bridge statement. What's the point of a bridge statement? Somebody tell me, what's the point of a bridge statement? You're going from normal life and you're trying to get to what? The gospel. You're trying to go from normal life into something spiritual. You're trying to take normal everyday life and tie that in so that you can naturally give the gospel. Probably all of us, or most of us, from time to time, have tried to, if I could say cold turkey, present the gospel to somebody from nothing to gospel. Have you ever tried that? Sometimes it might be the thing that you have to do. You might not have the opportunity to bridge over through something in common, but it is not easy, is it? In fact, it's a difficult thing to do. I don't personally enjoy it, going from nothing to the gospel. You know, you're standing there at the gas station counter and you're paying your bill, and all of a sudden you say nothing. And then all of a sudden you look at them and hand them a tract and say, do you know if you were to die today, if you were to go to heaven? You know, and they kind of look at you like, who are you? And do you want me to read this? And they'll either, you know, a lot of times I have found that, you know, some people will take it, some people will reject it, they don't want anything to do with it. But more times than not, when I have found a way to connect with the person. So in other words, when I went up to them before I said anything about that, I might have said something completely different about life. And what that does is that bridges that gap. You know, what that does is that helps that person to understand, listen, this is a person just like me that has things in his life like me. And we identify with somebody. There was a pastor that I had when I was in my college years, and I went to a few different churches when I was in college doing different ministries. But there was one ministry that I went to in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and there was a pastor there, a very small church. Very small. In fact, I think that the auditorium was maybe a quarter of the size of ours. And of course, we have a fairly decent sized auditorium, but it probably wasn't even that. In fact, I'm probably making it bigger than what it was. I mean, we probably had about, you know, 25 or 30 chairs set up in that little tiny building that were there. And he was, yes, he was from Wisconsin, but you would have pictured that church out west, you know, somewhere in some little town out there. And he was that kind of an individual, just very, very humble man that didn't bring a lot of glory, just a small church, but he was preaching the gospel and people were being reached for the Lord. I went out soul winning one day with him. He said, you know, Sean, why don't you come with me and let's just go door to door and let's talk to some people. I'll never forget the experience because there was something about that pastor that he had that I never want to forget, and that was his bridge of normal life before the gospel. He would find something, and he was kind of amazing, but I think that he practiced, he learned it. He would find something, not off the wall, but find something when he knocked on that door to be able to relate with those people. You know, if there were toys outside, you know, he just assumed they had children. Somebody came to the door, and he would have a big smile on his face, and he said, you know what? And there would be kids in the background. He said, boy, I love children. And you know, and he would get to know, what's this one's name? You know, and the person's kind of like, what? But before you know it, this guy he kind of worked his way in there, and the people are just having conversation with him about life. I remember one time there was a flag of a professional team. I don't know if it was football, baseball, basketball. I can't remember what it was. But we went in there, and there was obviously this person was probably a Packers fan if it was Wisconsin. But he found a way to connect with that individual, and he talked about them. And I don't know if he talked about the season a little bit. And boy, they're not doing so well this year, or they're doing really well. And that person, see, what it did was it broke down the barriers of awkwardness. And it kind of put him, you know, as a guy caring about, and I don't know if he carried a, you know, I don't know what he did. But what he did was he took himself as a person coming with the gospel that other people would look at up, you know, like up here. And he put himself down here so that he could talk right on their level and right with them. And before long, and he was just a likable kind of guy. And before long, they're just talking about life far before he then went into some way of then giving what God had done for him. And he would tie that, you know, whether it was sports, whether it was children, whether it was something that they were doing. Maybe they were grilling outside, and he would find a way, and it was very natural. It wasn't like he was just coming up, you know, off the cuff. He didn't have this planned. You couldn't. How do you know what you're going to see in the house? But he would find a way to bridge the gap so that the gospel would be given. Now, what we're reading about here with Paul is saying, you know, it doesn't mean that I need to become a Packers fan. It doesn't mean that I need to be a hunter or a fisherman, if that's what's on the wall. What Paul is doing is he said, listen, I need to keep doors open with all kinds of different groups of people in my life. Keep the door open. For the Jewish people, he said, listen, I'm a Jew and they're Jews, and so I'm going to keep a sense of Jewishness about me, because you never know, even though I'm ministering to Gentiles, you never know when I'm going to run into some Jewish people, and I want to be able to fit right in, right there with them, not doing all the things that they did, not always participating in everyone's activities, but he had some Jewishness about him that he could connect. That's the point. So Paul says, you know, I've become a Jew so that he could reach the Jews with the gospel. Under the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. And of course, he's still speaking about the Jewish people here, but those people that are under the law. He was familiar with the law, so he could talk about the law to them. I don't know exactly what that was, but he said, listen, I kept that legal part of the Jewish lifestyle with me so that I could talk with them. You know, if Paul had completely abandoned, he said, listen, God's called me to the Gentiles. There's nothing about Jew about me. I'm going completely over here. Paul could not have talked to those Jewish people. Why? Because you've separated yourself from us. You're not anything about us. And you're up there and we're down here, and, you know, you're better than we are. Paul said no. He goes on and he talks about another group. Verse 22, to the weak. Well, to them that are without the law, verse 21, and then to the weak became I as weak. Where's the... Okay, without the law, we're talking about, we could be talking about the Gentiles. Same with the Gentiles, this group of, there you've got the Jews, then we've got the Gentiles. Now, Paul is going to the Gentiles, and he was obviously very careful not to violate himself with the Gentiles. Of course, a Jewish person looked at a Gentile as a dog, right? A dirty person, and you're a violator of the law. But with the Gentiles, he would make sure that he would, I mean, he's ministering to them, but he would always have something that he could connect with these people. Not to violate himself, but he would be with these Gentiles. And I'm sure there were certain things in life that he could talk to. To the weak, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul made himself weak in certain areas. It doesn't mean that he said, you know, well, these people, you know, they don't do this, and so I'm gonna conform to that. But what it means is he found something with these people. As long as it didn't go against the Word of God, as long as it didn't violate Scripture, as long as he wasn't compromising, he found an element that he could relate to those people so that he never lost his opportunity to minister to that group of people. And I think that there's nothing super in particular about these three groups, but he introduces this. And so, you know, with whether it's a Jewish person, whether it's a Gentile, whether it's a weaker Christian, he would make sure and keep the doors open to win them to the Lord. I want you to notice a few things here in this that we need to practice in our own lives. First of all, we need to recognize the different groups that are in our lives. What kind of groups are in your life? Help me out here. What are some different groups? We all have different groups. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, in some cases, there's our work group. Do we, you know, and I know we all have different types of work groups. You know, for those of you who are working a job, you have a work group, right? Or you did when you worked. You have a group of people that you work with. Okay, there's a group of people there. There's that group of people, and those might be different kind of people than maybe somebody else. What is another type of a group that you might have, or a different category of people? Okay, so you have recreational hobbies. Maybe you enjoy doing certain things. Maybe you go and exercise at a certain place, or maybe you get involved in maybe you play golf, or maybe you get involved maybe you're involved in a shooting club or a hunting club or something like that. You go and you shoot your gun there, or you do something like that. Okay, so recreation, there's a group of people there that's different than maybe the people that you work with. What's another group that you might have? Your relatives, okay? And that is a different group, and you get together with those people, but you have relatives, and you know, you might not get together and shoot guns with them, and you might not get together with them and do this, but it's another group that you keep, and you love those people because of who they are. There could be groups that are geographical groups. You know, we've got people that, you know, for me, it's kind of a funny thing in our home, or at least between me and my wife. You know, I think of, I probably named it this, but I think of what world of mine is this? Is it my Wyoming world? Have you ever seen a person and all of a sudden you're like, what group does that person belong? I can't remember, you know, or you see a person that reminds you of somebody and you don't know, is that my Wyoming group? Is this my Wisconsin group that I went to school with, or the people there? Is this my, you know, I think, is this camp, you know, that we know people from camp? Is this somebody that came into Faith Bible Church before that I know? And that's what I mean by different groups of people. Personally, I have groups of people that, you know, maybe you know that I enjoy outdoors and hunting stuff. You know, I might have people that I talk to about those kind of things. I've got people in my life that I could talk about, you know, the weightlifting and the football with. That's a different group of people. When I was taking Melissa to her physical therapy there, there was a guy named Matt there that we prayed for. You know what? That guy was probably so different from me in 155 different ways. But one thing that we had in common is he really enjoyed weightlifting. Well, as I was taking her, I got to meet this guy, and I thought, you know what? I still can talk that way. Now, again, you know, probably the techniques and the strategies and everything when I was into it are probably a lot different. You know, everything changes, but probably a lot different. But you know what? I had a connection there. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. You've got people that are in different groups. I've got people in the ministry groups as a pastor. I've got other pastor friends, you know, and we don't sit there and talk about how to bench press, you know, a certain amount, but we'll probably talk about, you know, how to, you know, what's another way that we can win our the people around us, you know, our communities, or what do you do for this? And we get together and we do those things. We pray together. And, you know, that's a different type of a group. And then you've got and just like, you know, we've gone through, there's different groups. Are you thinking about these groups in your life? And that's what I want you to do. The first thing that we need to do is identify the different groups, and sometimes they're so diverse. For years, I was conversing a lot with a lot of Amish people. I still have, if you would get to my phone, I have a lot of contacts in my phone. I rarely ever delete any contacts, and I've got those. And I think Pastor Linville gave me his contacts before he left, so I've got people in there I don't know. But I've got all kinds of contacts. But every Amish person that I ever came across, if they had a contact, I got that. I've got, at one point in time, and I think I still got most of this, I had a list of Amish people that I could scroll through. You know what? There was a time in my life that I had, and I wish it was still now, but the Lord hasn't allowed that to happen, but I had a lot of Amish contacts. You know what? It was a different type of a conversation that we had with those people. And so there's different groups. The first point that I want you to see is that we need to recognize the different people groups in our lives, because we're going to go somewhere with this. But first, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to think, and maybe even take time to write down on a piece of paper, what are the different groups that I have in my life? The different groups of people that maybe I might be called to be a blessing to. So different. So different in talking to a friend that I might have about hunting. There's certain guys that I have, and that's all they talk about is getting out, you know, here in October. Archery is going to start, and they're going to talk about that. And that's all I've ever really talked to them about. And they, you know, on the same page. And then there's other guys that, you know, it's the sports. And then, and on it. What are the different groups of people in your lives? I want you to think about those. I want this to be very practical. Think about those different groups. You might have, you'll at least have two or three, because there's the church, there's spiritual, maybe a spiritual group, maybe geographical groups, if you've come from different parts of the world, different places. Again, I've got my Wyoming people, and we talk about Wyoming things. You know, when I get back home with my family, mostly saved, but some unsaved family, there are very few things that I can talk with my Uncle Daniel, my dad's brother, about. I can tell you a conversation that I would have if right now you could transport me to Rock Springs, Wyoming, and I was there sitting there. We would be talking about the hunting season from last year. We'd be talking about this upcoming season. What's the plan? We'd be talking about the... It's amazing how we reminisce those same stories that we've probably told 50 times. I just can't figure out where that elk went to, you know, after I shot, you know. You've lived it. But that's the group. That's a group of people there. So what are the different groups? Identify those groups. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Some of you might have lots of different groups if you're into a lot of different things. Okay, so that's the first thing. Again, church, Christian family, territorial, as I mentioned, geographical, different people in the community. Some of you have people, types that maybe they're your routine. You know, there's that mailman that you see. There's the store that you frequent. You buy your meat from this place. And you talk to them. And that's another group. That's what I'm wanting to get you to see. The second thing that I want you to do is identify the common bond and be that. We're not talking about compromise. We're talking about, all right, what can I do to keep the conversation open when I'm around them? It's not about compromise. It's about keeping things open. Honestly, my life does not revolve around football anymore. I used to know all the players in the National Football League. I used to know, you know, a lot of the stuff going on in college. You know, I don't know those things anymore. I don't have time for those things anymore. And in a certain sense, I don't really care. But you know, I've got to keep that open sometimes, because you know, occasionally I run into that individual that I would have nothing in common with, but I can talk to them about what I used to be in. I can communicate with that, you know, that guy. And I meet guys, like every once in a while there will be somebody there that I know that I can talk. You know, I'll meet a football coach somewhere, and we can talk about some of those things. I'll meet a person that was into, you know, I often meet guys in hunting. It's identifying that group, and it's not like I have to go out and, you know, and shoot, you know, a couple times a week so that I can witness to somebody. That's not the point. But it's having things in my life that I easily can instead of just kind of throwing it away because I don't have time for it. Naturally, we think, you know what, this is a distraction in my life and we've got to get rid of it, and you can. But Paul's point here is keeping bridges opened up. Because you never know what day you're going to run into what group and what individual in that group. Paul says there are days that I'm with Jews, and boy, I better be able to jump right into that group and talk Jewish. There are going to be days when I'm immersed into the Gentile community, and I better be able to get down on their level and be able to talk about the things that they talk about. Again, as long as it's not compromising truth. You know, then there's going to be a time when I'm with some weak brothers, you know, and sisters in the faith, and I've got to be able to find a common bond between them, and I need to be able to talk with those people. Why? Because the gospel's at stake. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have anything in common with people, it's very difficult to share the gospel with those people. Those people are looking to see what level you're on and how you can talk to them. And I submit to you, even more so in our culture today. You know what? I would have loved to have been in the days, you know, where the gospel was preached, you know, back in the 70s. It seems like some of those churches, you know, were booming. They were preaching the gospel. People were coming to those churches, and they would listen, and they would get saved. I mean, it's amazing. I remember, studying Spurgeon's era when he was back in London. I mean, I am absolutely not in a bad way, but kind of jealous. I mean, that guy is a preacher of youth, and he went in and he would preach some messages. He was a good preacher, no doubt. But he would go in, and that was just the case. People would come in to hear, and they would hear the gospel, and they would trust Christ. By the hundreds sometimes, you know, even the thousands at times, you know, things were happening in certain days. That is not the day in which we live today, folks. But that doesn't mean that we give up with the presentation of the gospel. But the day that we're living is a day where people need to see you on their level. I really believe that. People need to see you on day-to-day life presenting yourselves in the things that they're interested in, the things that they do, things that you can do in your life to rub shoulders. Here's the problem. We as independent fundamental Baptists, we have so separated ourselves from the world that we don't have many things in common with people. You know what that equates to? Nothing happens. Why? Because we don't have anything to talk about. We don't have anything to share. You know, and even my life, I find myself here. You know, I'm a pastor of a church. I've got a family of five children, a wife, and we've got a property and things. You know, it absolutely takes much effort and work to even find anybody that I even hardly talk to that doesn't know the Lord. And I mean that. I occasionally will stop at the store and pick up a few things, you know, on the way home. But I don't really talk to a lot of people and there's not a lot of things in my life that I have to be able to do that. And yet I'm not submitting that that's okay. In fact, I say that's a problem. We've got to find ways to keep open bridges or to create bridges with people so that we can give the gospel to them. I want to get really practical here in the last 7 or 8 minutes. Pastor Dan and I have talked a lot about this. We want to continue on in our soul winning program and get out and share the gospel, but I am very convinced that we have to begin to even come up with things in our lives to where we get ourselves into things that people are into. And we've got to be careful with that because there's a lot of areas of compromise. I've got to be careful. You know, I'll give you an example. When I met Matt, the guy at the physical therapist, I wanted so bad to be able to participate with him and go in with him, not because I wanted to get big muscles like he had, But I had a common bond, and I was trying to think, I mean, Melissa can remember, I was trying to think anything I could do. Sometimes we would go to physical therapy, and not just to go, but it was a highlight for me, honestly, because I got to go, and I was hoping that Matt was there. He was a student therapist there. He was just kind of in training doing some of his whatever he had to do. Zach would know what it is. But he was there working as a student and helping. And any opportunity that I had to talk with him, and I wanted so bad. In fact, he invited me to some gym, you know, that we'd go to, and it's supposed to be some Christian thing. What did he call it? Five Stones or something like that. And he said, you know where that comes from, right? And it was David and Goliath. It really was. It was supposed to be that. But he also told some other stories. I said, man, I don't know about that. Can you imagine me, you know, Pastor Faith Bible Church, going to this place? I mean, it sounded like a completely different culture of me going to this place, and But I'll tell you, I was so tempted. Not because that I just really needed to go and you know, see a bunch of guys, you know, lifting heavy weights. In fact, I wouldn't want to go do that because I would have been thoroughly embarrassed, because I'm far removed from all that. But I really had a desire to get to know Matt, because I wanted Matt to hear the gospel. And I couldn't come up with the right way because I would have to compromise some truth in my life to do it. I know the places that you go like that, there's no way that I could go with the environment that comes there. And I think you don't understand what I'm talking about. We've got to be careful with those kind of environments. I'm not talking about compromise, but I am talking about things that are okay and natural to do. Coming up with, I love what Dan and Elizabeth have done. They've got a little stand outside their house there for firewood. There's one reason. Dad could care less about selling that firewood for $5 a bundle. I'm sure he'll take the $5 if he gets it, but there's a reason why he does that. American flag sitting out there, there's a reason why. It's to meet people. That's what we're talking about, coming up with something to rub shoulders with other people so that we can give them the gospel. I have a burden about the church. Pastor Dan and I have a burden about this church. We're so separated that we're so scared that we don't know what to do when we get with the world. Paul is talking about here, we need to have open roads so that we can give people the gospel. What do we need to do? And honestly, I don't know what's the right answer. I have contemplated saying, folks, what can you do? What business can you go start? What tent-making thing can you get out there and do so that we can start giving the gospel? I believe we're living in a society that needs that kind of lifestyle to be able to share the gospel with, because people don't trust people anymore. It takes time to build relationships. Keep bridges open. Being all things to all men. Doing things to get on their level so that we can do it. You know, ladies, it might be joining us a sewing club. I don't know. I don't know if there's sewing clubs out there. You laugh, but I'm talking about, we need to find something. If you can sew, find some other ladies that sew. If you do, I don't know what you do. Again, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful in what we do. But we've got to find avenues. We've got to make sure that we're not compromising truth. But we've got to find ways in which we can get out with other people than people that are right here so that we can give the gospel. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, listen, I became a Jew. I became a Gentile. I became, you know, associated with these weak Christians. I made my life an open person to all these different groups, not compromising, so that I can share the gospel and so that these people can be saved. If we have nothing in common, then we have no avenue to give the truth to those people. And as we leave here tonight, I want you to be thinking, I am just challenging you to be thinking and praying, what could you do to get yourself involved in more people that you could build bridges, keep bridges open, so that you can be with them and share the gospel to those people? Community things. Community garage sales where you get to talk with some other people. I don't know what's out there. I don't know what the answers are. I wish I had a list of, you know, 50 things. You know, sign up for one. But you know what you have. And in fact, every one of you, you have your own niches in life. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Find your something. Find the things that you enjoy doing. And ask God. You say, come on, Pastor, what are you talking about? And I say, I don't know. But God does. I want to encourage you to be thinking and praying, you know, God, I don't know what I can do. I'm just kind of a plain person. I don't really do a lot. But God, I would love to do something. What could I do so that I could get down on people's level and I can share truth that they could get to know me, I could get to know them. Maybe it's going on walks with them. Maybe it's doing, you know, maybe it's going out shooting your gun. Maybe it's find a hobby. And I'm not trying to get you all into hobbies that are going to keep you away from God's word or from God's house. We're not talking about compromise. We're talking about as you have time to get into people's lives so that you can share the gospel with them, because that's the society we live in today. I'm not saying that we're going to stop going door to door. We're not going to stop having things. We're inviting people. But I submit to you, we can't just rely on those kind of things where we're saying, hey, come into us. We've got to get out there and we've got to be around them. Getting into their lives so that they will trust us and say, you know what, I like this guy. I like this person. They can talk with me. We can talk about hunting. We can talk about sports. We can talk about work in our garage, you know, mechanics. We can talk about some of those things. And it's those kind of things that we get to win some people to the Lord. I just was talking at the men's retreat to an elderly gentleman that worked in construction he was a framer, and he did that for a living. And he was telling me about a situation that he had. And there was a neighbor that he had for years, and he was trying to figure out how to give the gospel to him. And that, I don't know if he was working on a project, I don't know if he was working on a car, or working on something in his garage, and that guy came over and was helping him do that. And they got to know each other, and they got to talk about some of those things. And it came to the right point in time where that gentleman asked the other one, you know, about life, and he started talking about these spiritual things. And right there in his garage, he led him to the Lord. I want to tell you something. If that guy would have probably went and knocked on his door and just say, hey, I'm here from Valley View Baptist Church, can I give you something to read so that you can get saved? The guy would have probably said, thank you, and closed the door. But instead, he opened up his garage door. He let people find each other. They got to talk, and they got to work, and they got to doing things. And that guy knew, this guy's got something that I don't. And the guy got saved. As your pastor, I believe that we've got to entertain this. I'm not saying that we give up on the other traditional door-to-door. I'm not saying that we do that. But we're living in a day and age where we've got to make connections. We've got to connect with people. And I think those kind of relationships are going to work. Paul, that's exactly what Paul's talking about. Is you make sure you have got some open bridges to people so that you can give the gospel. And it's not just to one kind of people. Get diverse. Maybe Jew, maybe Gentile, maybe a weak Christian, whatever the case. You never know who you're going to be with tomorrow. We've got to be able to find that hunter and start talking. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting together for 20 minutes and talking about, you know, hunting season. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's all where it ever goes, then there might be a problem. We need to get to the gospel. We need to get to the truth. Let's be all things to all men. Kind of an interesting thing. He's not talking about compromise, but he is talking about keeping the doors open so that we can give. Living among them, if I could say. Time. People need time. Activity. They need action. Even style. And I'm not talking about, you know, if the style is to do this, you got to do that. But, you know, it's interesting. Some of the missionaries of old, some of the most effective missionaries didn't bring their Western culture over. They decided to be like them in a non-compromising way. Listen, I'm going to put my place in your level. I'm not better than you. I'm not any different than you. I'm going to be who you are. And if that's the case, then we need to be who we are around the people that we are. We need to be all things, all men. Why? For the sake of the gospel. Father, would you help us? I present this tonight because it was in the scriptures, but yet I'm burdened for this. And I'm even asking the question in my life, God, to you, what do you have for me? What could I do? God, you have given me this background, and you've given me this background. You've given me this enjoyment, and I'm this kind of a person. I've got all these different kinds of things that I could be involved in. Lord, what would you have me to do so that I can interact with people? And I'm really asking you that question, as I have been. Lord, I ask on behalf of these people that are out here, what could we do so that we could interact? God, would you show us? Lord, I pray that these folks in the next many days, weeks, months, would be praying and coming to you and saying, God, what can I do to get more people in my life that I could minister to? God, help us. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.